Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody. This is David Clark again with you. So nice to be on the air and live here on Facebook, on the radio, all the different ways you're listening on the website. It's such a joy to be here. What a beautiful day it is. Christmas Eve, Eve. So Merry Christmas Eve, Eve to everybody. Looking forward to the Christmas holiday this year. Hope you're all ready for that. And so we're going to get into the Word this morning. Want to make one announcement, though. My home church, Bethel Holiness Church, is going to be in revival January 3rd, 4th, and 5th with two different preachers, Brother David Capps and Brother Dallin Walker. We're going to have an outdoor revival. Yes, it's in January. Yes, it's in Florida. Weather permitting, it'll be outdoors in the backyard of the church there. It's going to be a good time of outreach to the community. Come be with us, 5032 Woodcrest Road in Jacksonville behind Ernie Palmer Toyota. We'll be glad to have you January 3rd, 4th, and 5th. All right, let's get into the Word this morning. I shared this at the prison last night. I'm going to continue this thought here today. I know Christmas is Tuesday, and I know that we're celebrating the birth of Christ, and but the Lord gave me this thought to share with you, and I want to just deliver the message today, okay? Let's look in our Bibles at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. I'm going to read the Christmas story. For sake of time, I'm going to kind of hurry through here. We are going to see a picture in these scriptures of every children's church production, every Sunday school skit, every play or drama we've seen on the birth of Christ. This is the scripture a lot of times they'll use, and it's just a perfect example of what we use in all of our Christmas productions. It's just a nice picture of what it looked like when Jesus was born. We're going to read that this morning, and then I'm going to share with you today. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse number 22 says, now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He was troubled at the announcement that the king of the Jews was born. Now, I want to talk to you this morning on a thought. America's most unwanted. America's most unwanted. Now, we've all seen the television show in the 80s and 90s, America's Most Wanted. Used to scare me to death when I was a kid. We'd read, God get on there, and he would talk about all these criminals that had committed all these terrible crimes, and what they were being sought for, and what they've done. And now you see a list of these guys, and they're the worst of the worst, the scariest of criminals, the most awful of people, and they made the most wanted list. America's number one priority was to seek these people to make them pay for their crimes. Now, in contrast to that, today, I want to talk to you about America's most unwanted. America's most unwanted. Now, we see here in the scripture where Jesus' birth was announced by angels, You can read in Luke chapter 3. I won't be able to read both versions of it, but for sake of time, you can read in Luke chapter 2 and 3 about how Jesus was born and how that it said that there was no room for him in the inn. From his very beginnings, Jesus was rejected by society. From the very beginning, even in prophecy, the thought of a king being born to come in and have authority over kings and over pharaohs and over governors and all of the people of power, that very thought of him having authority over them was completely dismissed. They hated him even before he was here. We all know when Jesus was born, he was born in the lowliest of manners. He was born in a stable, outside with the animals, open air, because there was no room for his mother, who was great with child, in the inn. And it is no mistake today, it is no coincidence that Jesus was born in that manner, that he was turned away. He's been turned away ever since. We have become a nation today that has completely cast out every relation, everything that even resembles the name of Christ, everything that even resembles him. So Christ was born the lowliest of manners. He was rejected from birth. When Christ lived and he walked this earth, you can read scripture after scripture where he was accused and he was called a blasphemer and he was accused of causing trouble everywhere. And how dare he say that he's the Son of God? Because the idea of someone having that type of an authority over folks was completely hated. He was the most hated man in all of the Bible. Now let's fast forward. I want to talk about today. In today's society, we're about to celebrate Christmas here. In today's society, there is a new age trend taking place in churches, in secular movements, where it is okay to reference God. It's okay to reference religion. It's okay to reference spirituality, as long as you don't mention the name of Christ. Now, there's a reason for that, but you can talk about God. You can talk about your church, you can talk about anything like that you want to talk about, because when you reference God, it doesn't make reference to which God you're talking about. There's many gods today. People worship all kinds of things. Some folks even teach that they themselves are gods. And so we hear this new age kind of trend. Everything is God. God this and God that and God this. But whenever you mention the name of Christ, it has an authenticity about it. It has something attached to that. The name of Jesus is powerful. The name of Jesus is distinctive. The Bible said that there's no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. It's the name of Christ. The Bible also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus was very specific in his teaching. The Word of God is very specific about the name of Christ. There's no other names like him. He has no equal. He has no rival. Jesus is unequivocal. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. And in today's society of power, in today's society of men wanting to have authority and men wanting to have riches and men wanting to be their own gods and to live their own way, they don't want to hear anything that would bring conviction to their heart, anything that would cause them to question the way that they live. People don't like to feel conviction. You mention the name of Jesus and all of a sudden everybody gets squirrely on you. It's because the name of Jesus is powerful and is very specific. You begin to talk to someone about Jesus and they know who it is you're talking about. You can say, God bless you. You can say, have a wonderful day. You can say, Merry Christmas. It doesn't offend most folks. It doesn't cause people to get weird on you, but you start talking about Jesus and how much you love him. You start talking about how much Jesus has done for you. You start praying in the holy and the wonderful name of Jesus, and folks begin to take notice to that because he has been hated since the very beginning. We are in a world today that is so anti-Christ in every way. Let me give you some examples. I should have gave you a disclaimer before I started this that a lot of folks probably aren't going to like things I'm going to say today, and I don't apologize for that, but I'm sorry if you got offended. I'm sorry about that, but I'm not sorry that I'm saying it, because the Word of God is true and it must be said. Now today we're about to celebrate in a day or two the birth of Jesus Christ, It's his birthday. We're acknowledging the day that Jesus came into this world to save us from our sins. John 3:16 tells why he came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've known that and quoted it since we've been in Sunday school. But we're acknowledging his birth. It's so wonderful. Everybody loves Christmas time. Everybody loves Christmas music. Everybody loves the cold weather sometimes. Sometimes in Florida, we don't have cold Christmases, but everybody loves the season, the shopping, the hustle and the bustle. Everybody loves the Christmas colors. Everybody loves to hang jingle bells on the front door. Everybody loves the idea of Christmas. But ladies and gentlemen, we have fallen out of love with the reason for this holiday. We've fallen out of love for the very one who gave his life for us, who was born, who lived and died and resurrected for you and I. The reason for Christmas has nothing to do with what we have made it into today. Santa Claus did not die for you. Hare Krishna did not die for you. Frosty the Snowman did not die for you. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer did not die for you. But there was a man, God who sent his only son in the form of man to be born in the lowliest of manners in a manger in a town called Bethlehem of the lowliest of means. He walked away from everything that heaven had to offer, and he gave his life for you and me, and he lived in this world. He suffered temptations. He suffered anguish. He suffered everything. All of the mockery, all of the abuse, all the persecution. He lived under the pressure and he held up to it. He never sinned. Listen to me. His name is Jesus. We don't know the actual day he was born, but we recognize his birth on December the 25th. And the reason we recognize it is if he had not come, if he had not been born, there'd be no hope for you and me today. There'd be no plan of escape from that awful place called hell. You and I would not have a hope of eternal life today had Jesus not been born in a manger, if his name was not given exactly how the angel of the Lord commanded and said, "You shall call his name Jesus, and he'll save his people from their sins." Emmanuel, God with us. Boy, he arrived. And it changed everything from the moment his divine head hit that hay. Earth shook and trembled because the king had arrived. Jesus was born. Christmas is not a time for us to sing about sleigh bells and all that. I know that it's because of the winter season we celebrated in. Everyone has shaped the traditions around the winter time. But folks, what if he was born in the middle of July? What if he was born in February? What if he was born in April? We don't know the exact day. We have made this holiday into something that has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. I would submit to you today that Jesus, in this hour, is the most unwanted person. He's the most unwanted name in American history. No one wants to come to terms with the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to read you something here. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, I'm going to skip ahead here. I feel like going ahead and bringing this point out now. Jesus is the most hated person, the most hated name in history. He is America's most unwanted. John chapter 15 and verse number 18, he said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." Why is that important? Why is that important? Because you and I are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the body. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We represent Christ on earth. We are the ambassadors for heaven. We are the mirror images of Christ in this world. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And if they hated him while he was here, if they hate his name, if you and I are born again and we're going to be Christ followers, they're going to hate us like they hated him. You can't talk about him. You can't live like him and not be hated by the world. The very idea of Jesus being Lord of all. Listen to the news reports. Listen at the interviews, and you can see the videos and the interviews where television celebrities are talking to these famous TV preachers and now musicians and things, and asking them simple Bible doctrine, asking them simple truths out of the Word of God. Is Jesus the only way to heaven? They can't even pin them down to answer. Is homosexuality an abomination to God, as His Word says? They can't even give an answer. Is God, the Jehovah God, the one true God? Boy, they can't even look you in the eye. But whenever you begin to tell them with authority from the Scripture that there is no other way whereby men can be saved except through Jesus, when you begin to tell them that there is one God and one Lord, and that we believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three in one, we believe in the Bible, we believe in holiness, we believe in right living. When you begin to make statements like that, people begin to call you names and to persecute and to say that you're heretics and to say that you're crazy and radical and left field. And they begin to make it out like you're the one who's in the wrong. But friends, today, in this Christmas season, now more than ever, we must come back to terms with the knowledge that it is about Christ and Christ alone. It's about the birth of the Savior. It's about the knowledge that there is one who came and who died for me, and unless I believe on Him, unless I commit my life to Him, there is no eternal life outside of that knowledge. There is no salvation outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only way today. We celebrate all kinds of things, and I know people do it in innocence. I know that people, but think about what we have done. We have robbed the manger scene of the star of Christmas. We've robbed it, not the star above the manger in the sky. I mean the one who was the star of the story. He was the most valuable person in the Bible. Jesus Christ. We've taken Him out of the manger. We've set Him on the shelf somewhere. And now you can see manger scenes in people's front yards with Santa Claus standing next to the wise men, with Rudolph on the roof. Now listen to me today. I didn't come here to be negative or to get on your sacred cow or anything like that. But I just want to remind folks that in this Christmas season, it is about Christ. Has nothing to do with figments of your imagination. But there is a God who loves us and who sent His Son to die for us. And His name is Jesus. His name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. That is the reason for Christmas. No other reason today. No other reason for us to gather together and to give gifts and to celebrate and to be thankful. There is nothing else outside of Christ. There is nothing else outside the knowledge and the hope of our salvation. There is nothing else outside of Him and His shed blood for you and I. You see, without the remission of sins, there is no salvation. And without the blood of Jesus, there is no remission of sin. It's a chain reaction. Jesus died, and He shed His blood for us, and with that blood, we're cleansed from all unrighteousness. If we don't go by way of Christ, then there is no salvation. Hollywood would tell you today that every religion is right, that there's many ways to God. Hollywood would tell you that you can incorporate all of your pagan idol worship in the same thing. But Jesus Christ is and will always will be the only way to God. He's the only way to be saved. He's the only right way. Holiness is right. Jesus is right. And it's about time that we remembered that the most unwanted man in America, the most unwanted name in America, should be the most wanted thing in our very existence. I want Jesus in every aspect of my life. I don't just want Him on Christmas. I don't just want Him on Easter. I want Christ in every fiber of my being. I want to bleed Christ. I want to live and breathe Christ. I want to speak Christ. I want to pray Christ. I want to be consumed with His nature, with His character, so that others may know that He lives and that He's coming again. And I am the vehicle that God's going to use to get that great name abroad. You and I are the body of Christ today. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus today. I know people get so mad when you tell them that you don't believe in Santa Claus. They get so mad. I'll tell you a little funny story real quick. My son is in public school, my youngest son. The other two go to private school. He's not old enough yet. Next year he'll start. And so we don't teach our kids about Santa Claus. They don't know about Santa Claus. They know the world believes in him. They know he's not real. We believe in Jesus. So Christmas is about Christ. Christmas ain't about reindeer. It's not about elves. It's not about snowman. It's about Jesus. And so that's all they've known is Jesus. And so he sent him to school last week. On his last day, he came home and got in the van when my wife picked him up. And he said, "Mama, y'all lied to me." And she said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You told me Santa Claus wasn't real, and he's real. I seen him." And she said, "Where did you see him?" And he said, "He came to my school today." You see, even at the age of 5 years old, it's taught to the children. And I know folks say, "Oh, it's just innocence," but they're robbing them of the truth of the gospel. I looked at my son in the eye. I said, "Son, I don't care what everybody else believes. I don't care how much he looked like him. I don't care what they tell you. He ain't watching you. I don't even have a chimney. He ain't coming in my house on Christmas Eve. He gets no credit for anything. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Him crucified, him resurrected, him coming again one day. That is the only way we're going to make it, friends. The only power, the only authority. Santa Claus never healed nobody. Santa Claus never raised nobody from the dead. Santa Claus never saved anybody, gave us eternal life. But my Lord Jesus Christ is a healer. My Lord Jesus is a saver. My Lord Jesus is a deliverer. There is power and authority in his name today. And folks try to disregard that. They try to put him on a shelf. But friend, he's not a toy that you can set on a shelf today. He is the one and true King of Kings. Jesus is his name. I don't think it's going without saying today that we don't do Elf on the Shelf, and we don't believe in anything pagan or anything like that. We don't teach our kids, and not just me. There's other folks. I'm not the only one. I'm not by myself in this, folks. We got to get back to the Word of God. We got to get back to the Word of God, the truth of the meaning of Christmas. Why would someone not want to worship the very man, the very God that gave his only son? The very God that came down in the form of man and died on a cross and paid your sin debt, and we reject him for some figment of our imagination and tell our children that he's the reason for Christmas. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I love my Jesus. You can have this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can have its money, its riches, its wealth. You can have its popularity. You can have everything else. But he is the reason for Christmas. He's the reason for next Tuesday. He's the reason for summer, spring, winter, fall. It's all because of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Listen to me today. Jesus is real. He loves you. He wants to save you. Jesus is Lord of all, and he'll not share that lordship with some figment of our imagination. It would be a crying shame today for us to raise children without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But you know there are folks doing that today. There are children in America that have never heard the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, I hope they listened this morning, and I hope they heard me say it and declare it over the airwaves, over the internet, over the every way they could listen. I hope they hear it, that Jesus Christ is the one true answer, and there's no other way to God except through him. Christmas is about giving. Yes, people say it's the season of giving. It's the season of miracles. I believe every day is a day of miracles because I serve the miracle worker. I serve the chain breaker. I can go to him anytime, any place. I don't have to wait on Santa Claus on Christmas Eve once a year. I can go to the gift giver.
I can go to the Savior. I can go to the Healer. It could be on February the 14th. It could be on January the 1st. It could be on July the 4th. It could be any time of the night, 4 o'clock in the morning. I could wake up and begin to call on that wonderful name. And do you know what happens? The power of the name of Jesus, it breaks the yoke of bondage. The power of the name of Jesus sets the captive free. The Holy Ghost of God will intercede on my behalf, and while I pray, he goes and accomplishes the work that he set out to do. There is power in this man called Jesus, and he is Lord of all today. Boy, Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is about Jesus. I can already read the emails. I can already hear the phone calls. I can already see the text messages. Well, you ought not be so negative. It's Christmas time. You ought to be a little nicer. But I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ is the reason. He's the only reason. Listen, if I were to preach another gospel, then I would be of all men accursed today. If I were to preach another gospel and to tell you anything else other than the word of God, then I would be, my sin would be on my hands. Your blood and the blood of others would be on my hands at judgment. And I refuse to compromise this one thing, that this Bible stands for Jesus. This holiness way stands for Jesus, and there's no room for anything else in it. That's just the simple fact of it. I got 3 minutes left, and I want to remind everybody today that Christmas is Tuesday, and we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. Find a way. However you got to do it, find a way. Get in church today. Get in church. If you're not saved, if your mama or your daddy goes to church, show up. Go get in the pew next to them. You might give them a heart attack if they see you walk in the church doors. Go get in church somewhere today and acknowledge the one true reason for Christmas. His name is Jesus. Get rid of all those idols. Get rid of all that pagan mess and that garbage that has tried to take his place. Everything that Hollywood has said. That he had to be, that had to be. All the, we don't have to worship those things. We don't have to give place to those things. I believe in Jesus. Oh, just take this whole world and give me Jesus. I love you folks today. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. I'm so thankful for another day and the freedom that I can come on the radio and the internet and I can proclaim his name to you. And I want to remind you, celebrate the birth of Jesus this week. I hope you have a wonderful and a blessed Christmas. I hope you have a very prosperous new year. We're praying for you. You pray for us. And let's commit this year to dig in and serve Jesus with every fiber of our being. Let's commit this year to teach our children everything we can. Let's get this word of God in our heart. Let's get in the altars and draw close to him. And let's see revival in our land today. God bless you. We love you. Praying for you. We'll see you all again next time. I'll be with you in 2 weeks. And until then, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. God bless you. We sure love and appreciate everybody, Brother and Sister Ledford, for this opportunity, praying for them. Have a great day. Have a great Christmas. God bless you.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.
Want information and insight? We've got it. The Dennis Prager Show at noon at WBOB.